Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down, burn down. The system fails, the exit moves. Wake up the silence with the hands. I'm feeling the love in the silence club. I can feel the space between us. Little Captain and the common man. Time to show them all.
Everybody, and welcome to episode number 38 of the Star Chamber Show. I am Susan Roddy, and I will be one of your hosts this evening. With me tonight, I also have, as always, Sailor Janelle, Stephen Zimmer, and Michael West. And we have a great show put together for you tonight. We have two guests from our upcoming event, Imaginarium, in Louisville, Kentucky. We have Anderson O'Donnell, and I hope I pronounce his name right when I say we also have Christopher Pukowski with us. They will be talking about their work, the upcoming show, and pretty much anything else they want to at this point. As always, we want to give a shout-out to Zero King for the fantastic intro music. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to my co-hosts and let them start the show.
Well, thank you, Susan. I know I'm here, and I know that Michael and Selah are here lurking around here somewhere, so... But, Imaginarium is right around the corner, and we definitely are, got our hands full at the moment. I know Susan has just gotten done just kind of compositing a billion schedules for a billion different guests, and so she's definitely had her hands full lately, and we've across the spread here, across logistics and gaming and festivals and all kinds of different areas and hitting every newspaper in Kentucky. All the sundry tasks of the convention are definitely in full throttle right now, it's definitely getting near that time, and we definitely want to expose you to a few of the guests that are going to be there. But I want to turn it over to Selah and Michael in case there's some news that they want to give, because I've been immersed in Imaginarium stuff, so that's probably my update. So turn it over to you guys.
Well,
go for it, Michael.
there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but we've got the hardcover special signed edition of Hades Disciples is in the final stages of being put together, and so that should be in my hands to sign shortly, and then once I sign them all, then they will go off to all of you. So that's exciting. And then I just saw the preliminary sketch for the cover art for my new short fiction collection, Straightjacket Memories. And it is truly, truly, truly disturbing and amazing.
I'm so excited. Like I said, I'm just going to be, like, shopping at your table the entire convention.
Well, you know, it's like the artist is someone new to the Seven Star family. But when I saw her, when I was shown her stuff for the first time, I was like, my God, that looks like it's something straight out of Constantine and Hellblazer comics, you know? And her style is just amazing. It's just very, very you know, Bernie writes, and it's just really, really cool.
Yeah, we are really excited about, yeah, not only just, like Michael said, she is one of our newest additions to the press, and I hope I pronounced her last name right, but Natasha Alterici is
okay.
Her name.
I'm glad you took that, because I was like going, I'm not even going to attempt it, but.
Yeah. Knowing kind of, like I said, knowing names that are similar, I think that's the correct pronunciation of the last name, but Natasha Alterici is fantastic, and Ann Rosario, who actually is doing the Seventh Starlight imprint art, is also going to be showing off some of her brand new stuff for Jen Mulvihill, and also going to be doing some stuff for Ashley Rose Sullivan. So we actually are going to be showing some new art by brand new members of our art family pretty shortly. And as Michael said, I mean, the artwork for his new collection is just, I mean, yeah, I mean, even the draft almost looks like it could go as a cover. So, I mean, this is a really amazing looking cover.
I mean, my words, you know, when I first saw it, it was just like, I was just like screaming. I literally screamed, oh my God, yes, you know.
Yeah.
To which Stephen responded, I've put this through the translator for ancient languages, and I think Michael likes it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so cool. I can't wait till we debut that one, because people are just going to go, wow. I mean, but if you like Dengar and you like Jason Connolly and Matt Perry and Bonnie's work, I mean, Natasha and Anne, they fit right into this group. I mean, just totally on fire.
And speaking of Angar, I mean, he did the special edition illustration of the Yeti War for the hardcover of Hades Disciples, and the only way you can get the illustration is to get the hardcover limited edition of Hades Disciples. And my God, I mean, you know, that I've had so many people who I've shown it to who've read the book say, you know, that is exactly what I pictured, and it's just amazing. It's beautiful.
So what's going on with Sayla? I believe you have a rather significant blog tour rolling up with a major company.
Yeah, I kind of have been exploring all sorts of different ways to get the word out, and I'm teaming up with TLC Tours in October. The press release for that just came out. The date isn't officially set yet, but it will be in October, and we'll be doing some posts for Old School, so that'll be happening. I think I'm probably going to be getting on board with Night Owl's Halloween event as well. So doing that, making a troll. So I've got the limbs and body done, and now I've just got to do his business suit and his head. So
very cool.
That's one of the highlights for me of Imaginarium is going to be through this costume walking around.
I have a lot to live up to.
It's not just a troll, it's a business troll. That's what makes it so fabulous.
Well, yeah, exactly. Trying to explain this at fabric stores has been, like, the best time of my life. Like, Home Depot, because I have to get, like, certain stuff there. Home Depot and Lowe's, like, the salespeople just walk away from me now. Like, really, if they would, like, market themselves as the crafters, they would get so much business. Because I think they think I'm, like, trolling them. But I don't know. Like,
Oh, bad joke.
But I need, all this hardware to get stuff together. Yeah.
For your next book, we just need to follow you around with a video camera and make a documentary of what happens in the aftermath of your book.
Oh, you do. Totally. Like, when I had to build and it didn't have anything to do with the book, but when I built the demon puppet, like, I got all this PVC and, like, pipe and, like, having to go and, like, choose the right joints and stuff. I think I went after work one night and, like, all the different contact cements. Like, and inevitably people will ask you, like, what are you working on? Because everything I have never makes sense together. And so I tell them, and that's when they either stare at me, walk away, or, like, try to gauge if I'm, like, I don't know, crazy or on something. And I'm like, I don't know. I get the same response from Joanne Fabrics, though, or like the, any of the fabric stores, because inevitably I'm like, well, I'm latexing over this prom dress, so it looks like it's made out of human skin, or I'm, you know, I'm making a troll suit, or, you know, it's never anything normal. So.
Well, I always want to go into Meijer late at night and just buy tarp, a shovel, duct tape, and some Vaseline, you know, and just put it on the... Just put it on the cash register and say, I'm in a hurry. Can we hurry this up, please?
Yeah. I'm so proud that I finally have stopped getting carded for, like, contact cement and glue and paint. Like, for the longest time, I got carded every time I bought, like, anything huffable because I guess, I look like half my age. So I guess people thought I was going to do myself massive amounts of harm. And I'm like, no, I'm just building weird stuff. Sorry to disappoint you, but I don't know. Yeah, for a long time my mommy had my craft supply because, you know, I cannot get people to sell me glue.
Wow.
Well, figured now. Let's see. Yeah, because while I am thinking about it, though, we definitely probably should bring our first guest on tonight. But I do want to mention one thing that we did forget to announce. We did have a new sponsor actually join Imaginarium. So since we're on Imaginarium theme, I will mention it. And it's pretty cool for those of you that love romance work. Turquoise Morning Press out of Louisville. They've got over 80 authors in their roster. They're very romance focused, and they've got like a ton of like award-winning best-selling authors. And Kim Jacobs and Turquoise Morning Press has come aboard as our latest sponsor. So that definitely want to give them a big shout-out and welcome. And then tonight's guest, actually, I've always had fun with him, and I enjoy seeing him at conventions immensely, even when he dresses up like a ninja and, you know, and stalks me, or he's got his kids running around like ninjas promoting him all the time, too, at conventions, because I get handed his promo by his kids all throughout convention events, too, when I'm walking around, but he's a great guy, great author, and I actually got to know him through his novel Dark Halo, which came out through our friends at Blackworm Publishing. But the great Christopher Kokoski, who is going to be a panelist and guest at Imaginarium, is going to join us right now here in the Star Chamber Show. Christopher, you are in, I believe, right?
I'm in. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. All right. Our first guest of the evening, welcome to the show. And, first of all, introduce yourself a little bit and, tell our audiences a little bit about what you're up to here on the verge of the big convention.
Absolutely. So good to be on the show. Happy to be here. And, I'm an author with Blackworm, like you said. I have two books out right now. One is, as you mentioned, Dark Halo. Is about a father trying to keep his family alive in the aftermath of a fallen angel, so 3 days of basically Armageddon in a small town in Indiana. And I actually live in Indiana and Jeffersonville and work in Louisville. My other book is Past Lives. It's actually the first in a series about a guy who finds out under hypnosis that he's a reincarnated serial killer. And I'm working on the sequel to that right now and kind of working through the editing process. Which I know you guys know a lot about, and hope that to be out either later this year or early next year. I'm super excited about Imaginarium and just listening to you guys talk about the panels and the business trolls. It's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to be a part of that.
Well, I definitely love seeing you at conventions, and I have to say I was really impressed, especially with the way that you've like I always kid Michael West, when he brings his sons to events, you know, they're kind of like the Michael West organization, you know, they're kind of like the staff, and it's I'm always kidding with them about that, and it's kind of like you are kind of developing your own staff, because when I was walking the floor at Fandom Fest, I had a very lively young lady come up to me and say, you know, hey, would you like to have this card? This is from this great author, and handed me a Dark Halo card. And I was like, aha, I bet you I know who this is. but,
yeah,
yeah you,
my,
you, yeah, done well here.
I was going to say, that's my 8-year-old daughter, Lily, I think you're talking about. And she's a little fireball. She's got no shame. And I love bringing her along just to hang out with her. And she has a lot of fun. And she's starting to dress up now in the different costumes and take pictures. And she had a ball at Fandom Fest. And she likes going around, you know, keeps her busy handing out cards. And, of course, I don't mind that. But I just love having her there and being a part of the whole event, the con, and the writing experience. It's just a pleasure having her there.
Yeah, this past one was really smooth and enjoyable, this recent Phantom Fest. And I know that Sayla and Susan weren't able to make it this year, but Michael was there for one day. And I don't know, you guys were on some panels together, weren't you?
Yeah, at least one panel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was, especially the author track ran probably the best it's ever run.
It was, yeah, it ran very smooth, and loved all the extras, like the event app this time and all that. That was definitely helpful. But I'd have to say, and I know Christopher probably agreed with me on this, but yeah, the participation was way up this year, as far as like from the audience.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah,
and
the audience was
really into it this year too. I mean, so many times you're on a panel and everybody just sits there and lets you talk, and then you're like, well, does anybody have any questions? And they all kind of look at each other, and you just have to keep going, you know. And this time it's like you know, we had trouble getting in everything we wanted to say because everybody was so lively and everybody had an opinion and everybody had a question and everybody, you know, it was just really, I mean, it basically just ran itself.
Well, I think Chris was ready for business this year. I mean, last year, of course, we had like, you know, 50,000 million people showed up to the event and everything. And so I think Chris came ready this year because he, when I encountered him, I think for the first time at the convention, he had pretty much had a shaved head and he was wearing all black. And so I was like, man, you know, he is hardcore. He's dressed like a, you know, pretty much like a ninja, you know. And I was like, yeah, he's ready for this year's track.
That's right.
Yeah,
give me a few years and I'll go full con.
Yeah, it was awesome because I was just laughing because he almost did sneak up on me when I did encounter him the first time. So I was like, I can see this. And Christopher's showing me his ninja skills here. I know you had a pretty good weekend that weekend, but I know Susan's probably got you cooked up on quite a schedule for this year. You probably just got it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I think I'm scheduled for 4 or 5 panels, and I'm happy to be squeezed on or added on to any other ones. I'm just hoping for a great weekend and can't wait to hang out with everybody and talk about books and writing.
Yeah, I know your Black Worm cohorts are actually our largest sponsor this year. Dave came aboard pretty full force behind Imaginarium, and we've got a lot of your siblings from the Black Worm family are going to be there as well. So kind of a little bit of a comfort zone. You'll be definitely in a hometown kind of feel with Louisville and, you know, Black Worm there in force. And of course, Dave Mattingly is a one-of-a-kind character to begin with. But,
wonderful, that's right.
This is your chance. Yes, we will give you the floor. Go ahead and give us your thoughts on the amazing Dave Mattingly, because I always love to get people's insights on him because he's such a character.
He is. You know, I actually met him because we're both part of the Toastmasters, a public speaking and leadership organization. It's national, but we're involved in a local kind of Indiana Louisville chapters of that, and I kind of met him through that. Had no clue he was a publisher. I don't think he knew I wrote any books at first, and then somewhere along the line we were emailing back and forth, and I must have emailed something about my book, and he said, you know, I'm a publisher. I could probably help you with some of that stuff. And so we kind of connected over that, and we've been sort of working together both in the Toastmasters and also with the publishing, obviously. But I consider him a great friend. I think he's a great caring and understanding, and I think he's a very generous publisher, and I think he does a great job of marketing, and how he does all that he does, I have no idea, but I really appreciate his leadership and his promotion and all he does for our cause and the publishing, and I know he helps out a lot of other groups as well, and so I consider him a friend and a leader and a publisher all at one, but he's certainly, like you said, one of a kind, and he's, I think, you know, you meet him, you know, it's hard to ignore him, hard to forget him. He's just a really nice, caring guy, and he's super intelligent and super caring for people, and I think that's probably what rubs off the most for me.
Did any of you go to Conuga, or is it just me? Does anybody in here go to Conuga, or is it just me there?
I missed it.
Okay, I wish you could have seen Dave there. It was like early on the Sunday morning, and it was before he did his church thing. And,
right.
He was, I call it the Amish ninja. I mean, he's walking in all black with almost like he had some kind of hat on. He had like the beard with full beard with no mustache. So it was like the Amish style of beard. And
yeah.
And he was carrying like a big sword, and it was like an all black kind of robey kind of garb, and so I called him the Amish ninja. There seems to be a ninja theme with you Black Worm authors and publishers, because yeah, he was also all black, but yeah, I wish you could have seen him, because I didn't recognize him until
too.
He got almost on top of me. We were walking down the concourse, and
wow.
I saw him coming my way, and I was thinking, this guy's a character. And then it got close, and it was like, oh, yeah, it's Dave Mattingly.
Makes sense now. Yeah,
yeah, it makes perfect right. sense, which is scary to begin with. But
yeah.
But yeah, but definitely looking forward to having Dave kind of bouncing around there and, yeah, with the rest of your cohorts. And but as far as like but one thing I like about you being a part of Imaginarium, and this is something I think that maybe Michael got a taste of, you know, being on a panel with you, and then hopefully you'll get to be on some stuff with either Susan or Selah, but it's
yeah.
I think you have a great kind of focus and command on the craft of writing, and that's something that even came through when that one time when I got to work with you on a blog tour. But you really are a student of the craft, and
love it.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about you know your approach to the mechanics of writing, as far as you know how you've gotten into the you know that side of it as a you know as a real student of the craft.
Sure, absolutely. I love the craft of writing, and I have studied it for a long time. In fact, when I first started to realize I had an interest in writing, way back in high school, and I was a member of the Writer's Digest book club, and I got all these books, and I got real excited, and then I quickly got overwhelmed with all the details and rules and guidelines and advice, and I thought, well, if I have to do all this stuff, I'm just going to give up. And I kind of stood away from it for a while and kind of worked my way back through passion and focus in college and after that. But I just started to – I've always had a love for story, written form, movies, just stories of any kind. And after college, I guess, I got really serious about trying to figure out, like you said, the inner workings of story and what makes sense and what moves people and how to – craft narratives that are engaging and entertaining and that work. And there's plenty of examples of those who do and those examples of those who don't. But anyway, so I really study it. You know, I read a lot of books, just novels, and try to break them apart and figure out what makes this scene stand out to me or this character. I love to read just for entertainment, but I'm also reading just to study and to learn. What's out there, how you know, other authors, particularly best-selling authors and others, kind of deal with characters and plot and structure and how they make a reader care about characters. And anyway, so my personal approach is ever evolving. I have a blog I think that you kind of mentioned there. It's right now it's chriskokoski.wordpress.org, I think it is. And I just, once a week, I try to share my thoughts on what I'm learning about writing and what I've gleaned from others. And probably 50% of that is just simply to keep myself trying to be sharp and keep learning. And I continue to do that. But, you know, I guess I have a mixture of an approach to writing that, you know, some people call themselves a plotter and some people a pantser, and I'm kind of, I guess, sort of in between that. But that, I guess that's maybe a good intro. You got any, if you have any other specific questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just want to give people an idea, you know, of kind of like the kind of mindset you have to the craft of writing. And also,
sure,
the writers that are listening, if they Google Christopher Kokoski guest posts, you know, from the blog tour, you had some great,
yeah,
pieces that were a part of that were on technique and craft of writing type topics. So if people Google you with guest posts, I think that there's some really good stuff to pull up in that area, you know, for people to check out some of your insights and so forth. And that's what I think you make a great panelist. I think you're going to be awesome. Well, I think Imaginarium is actually made for you because it's a convention about storytelling and writing and all.
Yes,
that,
exactly.
So
I'm super excited about it. You know, I love writing fiction. I love nonfiction. I read and study and try to write some of both, and that, you know, and also I'm a Toastmaster, so I love to do think it is kind of tailor-made. I love it.
Well, we'll give you a Toast Mistress with Lee Martindale at Imaginarium to run with anybody. So it'll be kind of fun for when you get to meet her. But but as far as what have you got on the near horizon? You said you've got a sequel in the works, and what other writing projects you got cooking right now?
Sure, gosh, it's probably like everybody else, I got a million. But the I got the main things are a sequel to the Past Lives series is I'm working on hard editing that, and like I said, it should hopefully be out either end of this year or early next year is the goal. And I'm also working on a short story for another Blackworm anthology or short story collection about with the common thread or theme of invisibility. So I'm really, really digging the story I'm working on now. It kind of deals with astral projection and fatherhood, which is a really important aspect to me. In my day job, I teach guys coming out of prison about fatherhood skills and that kind of stuff. So it's and I'm a father myself, as we talked about. So I'm really excited about that short story. I for some reason it seems to hit an emotional chord that I don't know that I've reached in my other work. So really excited about that.
Very cool. Very cool. And on that theme, we're actually gonna expand the discussion here. We've got another fellow guest who we'll actually be meeting Chris this coming September, and we're really stoked to have him because actually it's the first time I'll be able to meet him in person. He's awesome. He first got introduced to me by the legendary Thunder of the North, the Cabin Goddess, Chris Morton, actually is the reason I got introduced to Anderson. But he has a neat story, which I'm going to let him tell. But long and short of it is that, you know, he eventually ended up with us at Seven Star Press with his Tiber City novel, Kingdom. And this is a kind of a dystopian noir novel and got some killer artwork coming to unveil from Jason Conley on this one. But Anderson is a guy that I know a lot of us are stoked to actually be able to meet him in person and be ready because I got a feeling he's just going to be absolutely crazy once we turn him loose with a bunch of writers for a weekend. But Anderson O'Donnell, you are on the Star Chamber show. Come on in.
It's going to be such a horrible letdown. Everyone's going to walk away so disappointed.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, welcome. We get the rest of the gang finally gets to hear your voice. This is cool.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited to be back on Star Chamber. You know, the countdown has begun, right? We're about a month out now.
Feels like we're like 2 days out right now.
I'm sure it does, but Yeah,
Susan,
I can't believe that.
You know, oh, God, poor Susan. Yeah, she's been just going nuts putting together all the individual schedules lately and stuff. And yeah, we're there. I mean, we're in the thick of the battle. We just ordered a truckload of T-shirts today, so it's going. Which
is your face on the T-shirts?
No.
I don't want mine. I was promised that your face would be featured prominently, and if it's not, then I don't want it. Send
there is an exclusive T-shirt that was made for Bill Roddy, however, which was ordered today, and it's very interesting, and you will get a huge laugh when you see it. But
you did it, didn't you?
I got
you
it.
Did.
Yes,
you
I
really
did.
Ordered that. He's going to be totally insufferable now. How are we going to put up with him that weekend?
Yeah, we're going to say that as a surprise, but yeah, poor Anderson, he's like, what are they talking about?
You did it, and now
sure,
I'm going to have to live with it.
Yes. Oh, man. Anderson, this will be Anderson's introduction to our whole world of madness. So, I mean, yeah, this is going to be fun for sure. But I was talking to Chris about, and the one thing that's cool about having you two on tonight is you are also another a very much a student of the craft of writing. You both are meticulous guys when it comes to studying the craft and so forth. And you actually have an interesting story to tell us, because Kingdom is actually the one that's coming out from us, which you are currently reviewing the interior of, is the fourth edition. And I know Chris will be interested to hear this too, but tell us your path in your own words of how Kingdom came to us and all the interesting meanderings it took.
Sure. I started it off doing the self-published thing, which, it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it's not a bad idea still, but I may have, I was really enthusiastic about exploring, sort of the new way of publishing and sort of the, direct-to-consumer interaction, and sometimes I wish I had waited a little bit longer, but all's well that ends well. I did wind up getting picked up at first by an agency, the Gurner Company out of New York. They're a really great agency. I was really excited. I was really positive. They represent a lot of mainstream writers. But I wound up not staying with them. I worked with them for about maybe 6 or 9 months, and we wound up having very different visions for the sort of revision of Kingdom, sort of transforming it from a self-published work into a mainstream work. I wanted to sort of toe the line between, dystopian noir, spec fiction, and they were trying to push me into sort of mainstream thriller world. And we just had to part ways because the visions were too different. But it was good. It was a good process because it made me sort of really take a hard look at the narrative and at the structure of the book and make a couple what I think were really critical tweaks that will be coming out in this fourth and, I swear to Christ, final edition of Kingdom. But
fourth
things that I think really sort of propel the book beyond any previous incarnation. And it won the Kirkus, top 25 indie fiction in 2012. So there's been a positive response to it, but I think this is going to be this is the final way the book was meant to be sort of told and the story meant to be told this way. So I'm really glad that Seven Star is, taking a chance on, the book it's been around for 2 years. There's been different versions that might scare off some publishers, but Stephen, you guys took a chance and snatched up not just Kingdom, but the next two as well, which is really great to have that sort of, you have a home, you have folks who you're going to get used to working with. Man, it's great. I couldn't be happier. I'm so excited.
Lexington would be in flames after the cabin goddess got done with us if we didn't say yes to you. So she would have sent a fireball.
I was trying to sound nice, but really I just sent Chris, you know, Morin out there to scare the shit out of everybody. And it was like, you know, strong-arm signing.
Yeah, it's kind of like Smog. She's gone back into, like, the long hibernation now. She's not going to destroy Lake Town.
Are you comparing her to a dragon?
Well, I guess that's too minor. Yeah, that's too little of a comparison. We have to amp it up and go even bigger, probably.
Yeah, she's great. She's out there on the forefront of the self-publishing revolution, and she sees the good, and she sees the very bad. And
oh, yes. And she lets you know, too.
No, yes. She lets everybody know, you know. But
shyness is not one of her attributes.
No. But, you know, really, I think if writers are looking to figure out what to do or what not to do if you decide to take that self-polished plunge, you should talk to cabin goddess Chris Morin because, you know, she's seen all the mistakes, and she's also seen all the good things, and she can really, she is so good at, you know, explaining very bluntly, how to proceed in this, because there's so many pitfalls out there, you know, so.
Yeah, she would love, Chris needs to do a Fourth Wall Friday with her sometime, because I know Chris would go over famously with Chris, at her blog. You definitely got to look into that sometime, Chris. But yeah, her Fourth Wall Friday series is so fun because I've done, I think, two of them now, and I know you've done one, I think, Anderson. And
it is so much fun.
Yeah, definitely shows you what bloggers can do when they get creative, and definitely a lot of fun. But as far as you go, like I said, you know, with your path, I mean, paths of publishing, I mean, Susan, you know, we got a panel that's kind of like on that topic, but I mean, you've kind of explored all levels of it. And you know, and there's no right answer, you know, one size fits all answer. Everybody's got to decide what path of publishing they want to take. But what are your kind of, after being through all of it, what do you think are some of the pros and cons of the different levels, you know, self-publishing versus, you know, the bigger level, which you were, you know, kind of involved with the agency, and then, you know, then small press. What are some of your pros and cons kind of insights as just from your own experience and understanding that, you know,
sure.
This is just, you know, your view?
Yeah, you know, I think that with self-publishing, it's great on two levels. One, you know, you get your work out there, and there's some voices being heard that might not otherwise be heard. And, you know, and the fact that it gives, you know, unknown authors a chance to get snapped up, if, you know, it's like another way to get your work out there, another way to possibly be seen by people on the higher above list if that's what you're going for. But, unfortunately, it also means that some books get out there that, frankly, probably shouldn't get out there. And I think some folks rush and maybe think it's a shortcut. Where they don't have to be as professional as if it was coming out of, you know, like a major house, but in actuality, you have to be more professional. You have to go even further because there's sort of like a skepticism that meets any self-published work, and the second that anybody sees a mistake, you know, one spelling error, it sort of, you know, confirms all the preconceived notions that they might have, and your book's out the window. So there's a lot of pressure there, and I think a lot of people don't, you know, aren't ready to kind of step up and, you know, hire an editor. Yeah, you have to hire an editor. You know, you can't do it yourself. You won't catch everything. Now, when you go to that sort of highest level, you know, with the big agencies, like I said, I found that all of a sudden you're making compromises. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, but at some point you have to draw the line and say, very few people are going to get rich doing this. So it's not like somebody's backing up like a Brinks truck full of money and saying, okay, now compromise. They're saying compromise for, you know, very little. It doesn't, you know, make a lot of sense. Especially if you're a new writer starting off and you want to build a career, you don't want to have that first step out the gate be a compromise and maybe you can't walk back on. But now, of course, the plus side is that you're, you know, you have legitimacy, you have a bigger audience that you're going to be exposed to, you have, you know, all kinds of possibilities open up for you. But you have, you know, you have to work with a lot more people. And so that's why, you know, a place like Seven Star really seems to be this awesome middle ground. It's, you know, you have exposure to a lot more people, and you get to work with a team. But the team is, you know, it's dedicated readers and people who love the same kind of stuff that you love. All it's been is just support and enthusiasm. And, you know, it's not, I mean, sales are part of it, but that's not driving the whole bus. It's probably driving a very small part of it, frankly. But what's driving it is the love of the literature that we're, you know, the spec fiction, the fantasy, the sci-fi. That's the stuff that keeps everybody going. And it's the passion for that comes out in everybody who I've worked with, and which has just been fantastic. You know, that's what you want. And there's no pressure. There's pressure to be your best and be professional, but there's not pressure to, you know, have your work conform to any sort of, you know, publishing model, which is great.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing I like about small press. It kind of does have that balance of, you know, still leaving, you know, control with the author of their vision, at the same time, you know, giving a family and a structure, you know, to it all. And I think, yeah, Chris can probably say a similar thing about Black Worm. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, his work, you know, also being, you know, his vision, staying his vision, but also having the, you know, the benefit of the Black Worm family and Dave Maddie, you know, them behind him. You know, so I think both of you guys are kind of in that kind of sphere right now. Am I right with both of you on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think definitely, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because, yeah, small press, I think, has a lot of potential. I mean, yeah, there's obviously some rough ones, you know, from time to time. And, you know, the same thing with self-publishing. You get some people do it really well, some people that don't. But, I mean, I've always said that a good self-published author is basically a independent press with an author roster of one. And, I mean, they approach themselves as a press. I mean, you know, they do get top editors, they do get top cover artists, they do, you know, have a good marketing plan, and basically they run like a press. And I think that's you're going to see that, you know, that story reflected for sure with our guest of honor, Rose Pressy, who actually was an exceedingly successful indie, you know, self-pubbed author, and, you know, has obviously, you know, gone to some huge levels. And But yeah, ones that really have done well have had that kind of approach, and I think that's what, you know, Imaginarium's kind of bring together a lot of focus on doing it right. And so, on the subject of editors, though, I am giving you a chance because I always love to give people chances. And Susan, you can dive in on this too, but both of you had the Vampire Karlstrom as your editor to work with. I mean, you for the past 4th edition, and Susan for Armageddon Rising. And so, yeah, have fun, roast them. This is your chance.
Are you listening?
I bet he is, because he usually lurks in the dark and listens to these shows. And
okay, so yeah, you're telling me I probably have to behave and I'm going to pay for whatever I might say?
Oh, no, just go for it, both of you. Yeah, have fun. The floor is yours. Susan Anderson, go after him. It's Karlstrom time.
He's a wild man. You know, I don't know what else to say. He's a complete animal.
Michael West can vouch for that. Oh, man. Wait till Imaginarium. You're going to find out. I just know how wild Mr. Karlstrom is. Oh, man, he is a character. I love listening to stories about him. You know, I think, you know, but that's what I was working with. Tell us about, you know, working with him a bit and your conversations and all, because I know he is so into your kind of stuff, you know, so, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, for all the stories, he's been one that, like, I feel like he's, of all the people I know, like, he actually is one of the most articulate people for really talking nitty-gritty with advice for reviews and marketing. Like, he's the person I can actually sit down and talk to and get a good feel for things for. So he may be wild, but I respect him tremendously. He's awesome.
Oh, we do? Well, of course I respect him because we use the heck out of him. He is very much a major, major SSP figure. And I just got a message from him. He is lurking, so he is listening. So you guys really can have some fun now.
I tell you, Stephen, I'm so excited to have him, as I try to kind of, tease out what's going to happen in the next two books. To sort of, I can have somebody who I really trust to bounce ideas off of, sort of on the team I can't tell you how important that is to me. It's one reason why I was so excited to go with Seven Stars because, just to know that they're, I didn't know Rodney yet, but the fact, he sort of met every possible expectation that I could have had, and to have that kind of offer there, it's incredible. It's like having, some poor, unpaid yet, unsung yet brilliant, co-writer. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, and he's definitely. I mean, I click with him wonderfully. I do also get to work with him on my short story collections. He has worked with me as an editor before, and he's great. I mean, I love the way he approaches things, and I think my Escapes collection was made just uber tight as a result of his involvement with it. So, I know exactly what you mean as far as his kind of approach and. But yeah, he's definitely a character. And in person, it's definitely a blast to hang out with him. So he's definitely a convention favorite. I don't know if Chris got to meet him at Phantom Fest, but Rodney was there for a day, and he did sit in on moderate and was in on a couple panels. So did you get a chance to meet him, Chris, over that weekend, by any chance?
Unfortunately, I did not. I don't think I met him at all.
Okay. Beware then. He's coming to Imaginarium for all 3 days. But we have most of the Indianapolis crew here, so we should have enough people to kind of keep an eye on him so he doesn't get too lost.
Got it.
But, Susan, I can't wait for, Susan will be down there too. We will have things are on course, and barring the implosion of Ingram or something, we're going to have Kingdom there at Imaginarium, the new version. So that's going to be awesome. So I know you're looking forward to that, Anderson.
Yeah. I'm so excited to be able to share it with people there, and for folks who have read earlier drafts or versions of it. And this is sort of like the definitive one that kind of really lays the foundation for the next two. And I'm so excited to hear people's responses, good and bad, feel free to tell me that I completely screwed up a good thing, but that's fine, I'll take both.
And I have to say the cover pops, the new cover, and I really love the artwork on this new cover. I think Jason Conley, who did Sayla's book, hit it out of the park in your cover as far as the cover art goes. And we went back to the drawing board and got a new illustration done in time for this edition that I think is just awesome, which is one of the things that we're unveiling.
I was a bit of a diva. I was like, whoa.
No, I was the same way. I totally had that same experience.
I was like,
awesome.
I promise I'm not that high mains. I know it looks like it right now, but
no, you weren't. It was a case where we're just trying to make sure we got the right pair of illustrations perfect, and we did. That's what we definitely want to end up with happy authors, but just like the image from Sayla's book, I just love is the hand with the clock. image. I just love that, and it's on her big banner. And but this one, I like both of the illustrations. Don't get me wrong, but man, I love the kind of like the one with the towers and all that. His just so cool. It's cool. I like that one. The way that one came out, but the cover is just that's something else. I think that's an art piece for sure.
Get like good posters made of it or something. You know, have Jason sign them and do the whole thing.
Yeah. And then we have T-shirts with your face on them too, right?
No. The people only want the Steven Zimmer T-shirt.
Right. Well, with you and me though, we're bringing together we can show that punk rock and metal get along. So we're kind of like you and I are kind of like Motorhead. You know, we fuse like punk rock and metal into a solid force. But,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure we could come up with something pretty exciting there, but. Yeah, because I know Anderson is also a big music guy too, like I am, and that's another little fun sidelight aspect that comes into the mix here. And but as far as Imaginarium goes, what do you guys like? I said you guys have, I think both got your schedules. What's the gist of your all's panels? Go ahead and each of you take a second and talk about what you got coming up, programming wise.
Sure. I'll just jump in. I've got Indie or Agent, which I'll have lots to say on. I'm doing negative reviews with Grace, handling those. And again, because I've had my book out there for a little bit, so I've had some great ones, and I've had some that were miserable, some that were negative but were on point, some that were negative. And, you read them and you think, how did this person even see what I read? Did they just read the first page? But, there's definitely a growing process, a learning process, just sort of coming to grips with that. And, I think that's one of the biggest growing points as a writer. So I'm really excited about that, because I think for new writers, especially with all the online stuff and how quickly you can pound out something on the keyboard and fire off a missive, in response to a negative review, how important it is to be able to kind of sit back and take a minute before you freak out and, type or post something that you really wish you hadn't. I'm really looking forward to kind of just, helping that and helping out people on that. And, we're going to do Into the Wastelands, which is going to be, I think, that's what I'm actually looking forward to the most. That or Pulp Fiction, just in terms of talking about the kind of writing that I love. So I'm really excited about that. And it's like, I can't really spend the weekend talking about, what you love doing and talking about. And I really can't think of a much better way to, spend a weekend.
Yeah.
So,
Chris, am I ambushing you? Oh, sorry. I was going to say, Chris, am I ambushing you, or do you have your schedule like on hand?
I don't have it right in front of me, but I do remember two of them. And one is the big reveal, which I think
is
about creating a story ending that is both surprising and logical in retrospect. I think there's certainly a craft to that, and I don't claim to be a master, but I've studied some masters, and hopefully I have some valuable information to give there. But and then another one that I'm on is finding the end. So I guess both that come to mind are both about how to craft a satisfying ending that meets the needs of the story and hopefully satisfies the readers too. So I think that those are all big jobs, and I can't wait. Also to talk about writing all weekend and all aspects of it I love. So those are the two that come to mind. I think I'm on a couple other ones that talk about asking the author about maybe urban fantasy and maybe cross medium horror is another one that I'm on right now.
Oh, cool.
So,
perfect. Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
Yeah, so I hope you guys, like I said, this convention is a bit of an experiment because, it's taking all the meat of a large writing conference, you know, a very workshop and panel intensive kind of environment, but it's fusing it with kind of like the lighthearted, relaxed atmosphere of a convention, putting, you know, writing at the centerpiece of the entire thing. So, how do you guys feel about the concept now that you've been kind of checking it out a little bit, and what are your expectations for that weekend?
I'm just really curious to see how it goes. I mean, like you said, Blackworm's probably going to be a lot of full presence there, and so it's kind of like a family reunion for us, and then so many other authors from other publishing houses that I love to chat with and get to connect with. So I'm curious about, you know, who's gonna come and what their expectations are going to be of the weekend. And it's certainly a conference that, you know, I would go to, and as an aspiring author, and so I'm just really curious to see who's there. And I guess my only expectation is have a great time, a lot of fun, and hopefully learn some stuff.
Anderson, your turn.
Well, I've heard a lot about like the Eyes Wide Shut style orgy in your suite at the end of the
the
weekend.
Oh, it is incredible!
So,
let me tell you, it is amazing.
Can I hear you? It's just like Eyes Wide Shut, except we're all a lot uglier.
How interesting. You mentioned that movie. I'll have to talk to you later. But I'm glad you revealed that I'm the man behind the mask in the ritual.
I let the cat out of the bag. I forgot a secret for all the first time people. Yeah. Now that I'm kind of behind the scenes, I've got all the inside information, and I just blew it. I'm sorry.
And beyond that, what else are you looking forward to?
Everybody's really excited. And there's, like, you know, even in, like, the Facebook groups, there's this enthusiasm that's just awesome. And it seems like, you know, you really struck that balance between, you know, we're going to do the convention thing, but it's also going to be a great place for authors to network and to kind of grow. And I think that's one of the best things about the small press, medium press scene, is that it's with a lot of folks who are just in it for the writing and to help other people, and you know, you don't have to deal with a lot of the bullshit that comes with like the bigger, you know, big swinging authors. This is more sort of people in the community trying to kind of help each other get better, which is just awesome.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be really, really cool. I mean, for that reason. But the other thing I'm thinking it's going to be interesting, and I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say afterwards, but it's the presence of not the strictly book people, but also the writing areas like the screenwriters and some of those kind of game design writers. Having those writers kind of in the mix, I think that's going to be a neat thing. I'm looking forward to hearing authors, what they think about after the event, you know, just that, you know, there is an actual spectrum of creative writing. It's not just books and whatnot, but also the screenwriters and everybody else. And that's going to be what I'm most curious about, just kind of see how that goes over. So,
if I might say, I'm really excited about that. You know, since we've been talking about, you know, all of us studying the craft, one of the things that seems true to me is I've studied how to writing books is I actually have read quite a bit of screenwriting how to books, and they seem to have a very clear grasp of the mechanics of writing a story, and in some ways presenting it in a way that makes a lot more sense to me than some of the how to books just about novels. So for what it's worth.
Well, we're going to have I want both of you guys to get ready your links, because we're running about 2 minutes and 45 seconds, but you will have great people there, like Jeffrey Reddick, who's one of our imaginators and creator of the Final Destination movie. He's actually from Berea, actually, so he's got a Kentucky route, but he's coming in from Hollywood for the weekend. And then also coming from L.A. is Scott Sullivan, who has written for The Tonight Show and NCIS Los Angeles, and he has some really cool credits. And there's going to be some really top-notch pros in the screenwriting area who are going to be there. But, yeah, go ahead, and Anderson and Chris, let's go. Okay, we'll go with just Chris first. Go ahead and give your links on how to find you, and then Anderson, follow him.
Sure. Well, you can find me on Facebook, Christopher Kokoski, author. I think I gave my blog earlier, chriskokoski.wordpress.org. And other than that, you can just Google me and all kinds of craziness will come up.
Yep, there's not a whole lot of Christopher Kokoski authors out there, so you will find him immediately. Yeah, he's not one of the ones that has to differentiate himself too much from others with similar names. But
right.
And then Anderson, okay, your turn. How do we find you?
Sure, you can grab my blog and website is at Tiber, Tiber, City Noir, Noir.com. Facebook, Anderson.O'Donnell, O-D-O-N-N-E-L-L, and Twitter at Tiber City Noir. So you can find me at any of those, or pop me into Google.
Cool. Well, we got about a minute left, and so if there's any parting comments, looking forward, and as far as my view, I'm just looking forward to having you both exceptional guys and authors. I mean, perfect panelists for this type of event. We're definitely looking forward to having you here in just a few weeks.
Very excited. Thanks
for having me on. Can't wait to meet you, Anderson, and just appreciate being asked on.
Absolutely, Chris.
Well, thank you very much, guys, and looks like we reached the end of the show, and so have a great night, and yeah, we'll be back next Wednesday at 9 o'clock, so good night, everybody.
Night.
Night.
Good night.
Night.